Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
you confess that we have acted in sin and in honor of ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. He is a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
bring us to enjoy its fullness. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. We will read this psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us.
God is strong in heaven and is mighty. The Lord holds them in derision.
Then in wrath God speaks to them, and in rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord, who said to me, "You are my son, this day have I begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear and with trembling bow and worship. A reading from Peter. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The Word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Beloved children of God, this is the good news. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I feel that whenever the Transfiguration comes up, it becomes my annual critique of mountaintop experiences. But the Transfiguration does have an intersection with our lives, walk with Christ. It has implications for us today. The Jesus that is transfigured on the mountain is a Jesus that would be easy to worship and to follow. We want to worship a God that elevates us to high places. And I'm amazed when I encounter Christians that want their relationship and experiences with God to be so exclusive that only they can be a part of it, that there have to be people that are left out, which is contrary to the gospel. what these mountaintop experiences could also trigger is, could also create this danger of confining authentic faith to external religious experiences and expressions. For example, there are Christians that demand speaking in tongues as evidence of true faith. There are other Christians that demand for you to name a day and time when you could articulate when you were saved. And as Lutheran Christians, we should denounce such demands because that is asking for works on our part in order to be saved. It turns faith into a work. It makes it about what we do and not what God has done. It's not grace. It's not proclamation. It does not emphasize what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And in speaking of mountaintop experiences in Christianity, there has been this nonstop worship gathering in Kentucky at Asbury University going on, last time I checked, for almost 2 weeks. And the revival has been met with praise, criticism, and skepticism, and perhaps all three are warranted to one degree or another. As I get older, most things in life are more complicated and complex. Seldom are they black and white or clear cut. And revivals are not new in American evangelicalism. Even apparent spontaneous ones such as this, with the hopes to revitalize spiritual life and gain new members. Certainly looks like a mountaintop experience of sorts. And I have acquaintances and friends that I know that have left evangelical circles that have voiced concern of what kind of transformation will really take place when this revival ends. Will it bring about any kind of systemic change? Will restorative justice flow from this? And people engage these type of events longing to hear what God is asking them to do. But at the Transfiguration, the voice that is speaking to the disciples say, listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Now, I'm not saying listening to Jesus is easy to do, right? Let's make that clear. But it's also not a secret, right? There are even like Bibles that have Jesus' words in red, right? I mean, you can find what Jesus asks us to do. And I don't apply these critiques to just the revivals in evangelicalism or at Asbury University, but to us as well. Because you know what? The Spirit gathers us every time we worship. Every time we worship around word and sacrament, we are being brought up with God to that mountaintop. And are we listening to Jesus when we descend from this mountain? The Transfiguration is certainly an epiphany to who Jesus is. But it's when Jesus descends from that mountain that he sets his face towards Jerusalem. He's taking on the cross. And it is on the cross that we get the ultimate revelation and epiphany of who Jesus is and the kind of God that Christians worship. So when we descend from the mountaintop, we are invited to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, which is to embody that sacrificial love that we have received from Christ and share it with all people. It is the Holy Spirit that gathers us for worship, and it is God that sends us out. That's part of our worship service, as I said recently. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. So one of the critiques I do have with the Asbury Revival is that there are people, some people connected with it, that define faithfulness and success by the sheer number of people that have gathered. That somehow means that it's a sign of success. That somehow means that this is faith right here. When we know, when two or three people are gathered, this Holy Spirit is gathering them, and they can do great and wonderful things together. So when any of us who are gathered for worship, that we are to go out, sent by God, taking the word that we have received with us and proclaiming it and sharing it with the world. that God's call and cry for justice would be our own, that the love that we've received would be freely shared and extended. So easy to be caught up in our emotions, folks, that our faith should first and foremost be in the promise that we have in God through Jesus Christ, not how we feel, but clinging to a promise. When our faith relies on emotions, when we that we get from maybe revivals or from music or mission trips or youth gatherings, it's not seeking God. It becomes a life of seeking those emotional highs that those events bring. And there are people, as I said, that have their own agenda to this revival going on at Asbury. And I came across this message from somebody connected to it. Quote, "Every church needs to break stale traditions that quench the Holy Spirit. This is not a time to stay in the box of dry religion. If you're worried that young people might jump, dance, or shout during praise and worship, or that the carpet in your church parlor might be dirtied by new converts who smell like marijuana, or that your 60-minute service might last 3 hours, then you have become a Pharisee. God wants to smash our idols so he can reach the lost who need him." Now, I want to be clear, there is some truth to this message. But the danger is that this pastor connected to this revival is defining who is the real church and who is not, based on where he thinks the Holy Spirit is and isn't, based on how different Christians worship. And this kind of attack from American evangelicals is not a new attack. It's attacking Christians that worship like us, if you haven't figured that out. Tend to be more liturgical, tend to be more open and welcoming to various marginalized communities in our society. So some are using this revival as an attempt to weaponize it, to keep people in their circles that they see are leaving. And they know that they're not just leaving and disaffiliating with religion or just becoming an atheist. Some are exploring expressions of Christianity like our expression of Christianity. And these attacks twist these mountaintop experiences to manipulate people. Which, again, I would say, perhaps as an example, between or the difference between a theology of glory and a theology of the cross. If Peter and many of us had our way, we would be fine with a glorified Jesus without the cross. We could camp there forever. Notice at the end of the gospel, as Jesus says, don't tell anybody this till after all these things have taken place, right? Till he's risen from the dead. We don't worship the glorified Christ. We worship Christ crucified and risen. That's the glory that we have in Jesus. That's where we keep our faith and trust in. It is on the cross that we have hope. It is on the cross that we see the love of God that offers hope to the hopeless and life to the lifeless. It's important to note that this symbol of the mountain is very important to us in both the first lesson and gospel lesson today from a cultural perspective and a literary perspective, because the mountain is where people in the ancient Near East saw the presence of God. And that significance for Moses and the Jewish people, and even Jewish people in our society today, in that this relationship with God is connected to God's Torah, God's teachings, God's law, God's commandments that descend from that mountaintop, that they have this connection with God. God's with them all the time. And at the transfiguration, Jesus descends down from the mountain, and we're told to listen to him. But who are we told to listen to? The one who is the Word of God that promises to be with us always, not confined to one place, but being with us always, and as we hear later in Matthew's gospel, even to the end of the age. That's the hope that we cling to. Moments of inspiration are great. So I want to be clear. I'm not saying that they're not anything. They're just not everything. Jesus is always with us and calling us to follow the way of the cross. And while it's not easy, it's no secret. As the Word of God was nailed to the cross, we're reminded that there's no place that God will not go for us. There is no place that this God will not be for us. So in our daily dying and rising with Christ, and our weekly gatherings of worship and being sent out from the mountaintop, we know that Christ is always with us. That at the end of the day, it is not our faithfulness that we should ever be celebrating, but always in awe of the faithfulness of Jesus, who descends and rises with us and for us, whose faithfulness is what ensures each of us that we belong to God now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally God and the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, came down from heaven, who is incarnate of the Holy Spirit, who redeemed him, and redeemed him. For our sake he was crucified and on our spine, he suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world.
Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Embolden your church as it witnesses to the majesty and mercy of your Son. Equip lay preachers, deacons, and pastors. Move us to share our stories of your faithfulness and forgiveness. May our lives proclaim your greatness. Merciful God, dwell with your whole creation, from the tallest mountain peak to the deepest valley. Bless the work of conservation organizations and protect vital habitats. Support the work of disaster relief agencies around the world. Merciful God, guide and give wisdom to all in authority, our mayors and local leaders, our governor and state legislators, our president and national legislators. Bring freedom and justice to all nations. Merciful God, give shelter to those lacking safe homes. Spur communities to work for fair housing for all. Protect our neighbors whose dwellings do not keep out dangerous cold or heat. Accompany with your touch those who are homebound, sick, or isolated, especially for all impacted by the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. Justin, Tracy, Mike, Scott and Connie, Donna, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat, Dixon, Pat and Charlie, Debbie, Candace, Barb, Audrey, Jerry, Phyllis, Dave, the family of Evelyn Long, Ella, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Lucas, John, the family of Tim Scherzer, the family of Cindy Travis, Carol, and our homebound. Merciful God, make us eager to receive your word in Scripture. Help us recognize Jesus' voice in the needs of our neighbors. Make us confident to follow the way of the cross. Merciful God, receive our thanksgiving for the holy ones who have guided us in faithfulness and gathered even the unlikely as your people. With our forebears in faith and all who have hoped in you, teach us to wait with courage until the promised day dawns. Merciful God,
bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. The peace of Christ be with you all. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Lord, be with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who sharing our life lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anybody helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. The distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations, consecrated wine. You desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will have trays of glass cups and release you forward. Just take a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. And we have one announcement for the good of the community.
Good morning. And to help with that mission, the Stewardship and Finance Committee is bringing back a project. Everybody likes a good sequel. So we are bringing back Project 621, the sequel. If you look on the pink sheet that's in your bulletin, between Wednesday and Easter Sunday, we're going to be collecting 21 items. So go through your household, see how many items you can come up with. Thank you so much.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.